You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome in to Make It Rain, a rain podcast for Hockey Royalty and the Hockey Royalty Network. As always, you can go to hockeyroyalty.com for all the articles. And now, man, we're part of the Hockey Podcast Network, man. How does that feel?
It's awesome. Why not? That's what a great thing to be a part of, right?
Yeah, so there's plenty of different teams in there. Some people just talk about all hockey. A different team, so it's phenomenal. Glad to be a part of it and glad to grow our brand and be a part of the family there. So thank you for the Hockey Podcast Network for inviting us in, man. We're glad to be here. So
absolutely.
Let's just let's start it with how you doing, man. It's been a week. How's your week been?
Good. I'll be honest. The Kings are buzzing, the Rain are buzzing, coming off a fresh men's league win tonight. So feeling pretty good right now, Randon. I'll be honest.
You're buzzing. If it's a men's league, man, you do. Every goal is a shot, right? Is that how it works? You got a keg in the bench?
You're not that far off.
it's going pretty good down here, man. I mean, it's a little cold for my liking as far as that goes, but it's in its 20s. Although I got the day off work today, so that was nice. Just got to stay home instead of risking the drives. You know, not really too much weather. I mean, there was a little drizzling and then it froze over, but with the DFW area and there's so many different freeway interchanges, that's when it gets brutal, when the ice is on the bridge because all the wind that goes underneath it. And so a lot of people just kind of lock up and just stay home when it kind of freezes over.
Yeah, that's no fun. I mean, obviously we're used to it here, so we don't get a whole lot of weather days from work, but when that road's covered in ice, that's no fun no matter where you are.
So it was a good day for me. I get to sleep in again tomorrow, because they a little late start for tomorrow. So hopefully get that going on. And then my brothers and I are looking to buy tickets because the Stars game is next Wednesday. So I think we're trying to get some people together to go for that, man.
Nice.
I got too many podcasts working, man. I got so many teams in my head right now. I got to focus up. Got to be sharp, Randon. Got to be sharp. So, yeah, let's start it off with some rumors here. Forsberg's on the market, which – ultimately, doesn't make much sense to me considering where the Nashville Predators are in the standings. But, you know, with him being a UFA at the end of the season, maybe the talks have soured and they don't feel like they can retain him and they want to get something. But doesn't make much sense to me. But let's get your thoughts on it.
No, it doesn't. Unless, you know, like you said, I mean, we're not privy to those conversations and Nashville has to make a decision of if they don't think he's going to stick around. Maybe they want to just try to cash in. You know, you got a team that's very much in the playoff hunt. They've got one of the best goaltenders in the league. So you figure if they add a piece here or there around him, they could be a very tough out in the playoffs. But it's always tough, right? When you get into that spot, you're a team that's a good hockey team, probably not like a legitimate cup contender, but you have this huge piece, but he's a UFA. What do you do? Right. It's a tough spot to be in. I mean, I you can see why if they legitimately believe, you know, they can't re-sign him, I guess I understand them looking to move him, but it's an interesting name, that's for sure. I've always been a huge fan of his.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting name. It was a huge name in the Kings fans' minds in the offseason as a trade candidate, especially when we got Victor Arvidsson. They were saying, hey, let's bring both the guys over, the brothers, from, you know, the Predators, and let's get some scoring on this team. And so, you know, he's a big-time player. He's consistent. He's, you know, plays with a lot of heart and everything like that. And so and ultimately, he's a goal scorer too, which, you know, the Kings not desperately need. We've been scoring decently lately, but overall in the season – a lot of shots on goal, not a lot of goals going in. So he could help remedy that. And you're forcing the pieces down the lineup for a little deeper stack there. What do you think the market is on him as far as what it would cost to get him for a rental?
I don't. So what we haven't really seen is what the market is for a rental, right? I mean, so it's hard to really speculate. And I'll be honest, I won't pretend to be somebody that's necessarily in the know or anything like that. But you know, despite being a rental, he is a pretty big piece. You know, you're probably talking a first round pick and a pretty high end prospect at the very least. And maybe even, you know, depending on those pieces, maybe even a third piece. And for somebody that's a rental, it could be a lot. But if you're a team like that fancies themselves cup contenders, look at the Boston Bruins, you know, perhaps there's somebody that could use a legitimate big time threat offensively. You know, that's a team that really could use another big time forward. So I don't know. I think they could potentially cash in. But it's going to be tough to see. It'll be interesting to see what that market is. That's for sure. Cause he's a hell of a player.
Yeah, he is. You're looking at his cap hit $6 million on the year. Obviously the team wouldn't be responsible for that all, you know, for all that, but they would have to fit it under the cap constraints, you know, and all the long-term IR is probably a team maybe that can fit him on there, and use some of that stuff up, but not many of those teams out there. Like, you know, the Kings are one of them that could potentially use that, but I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, that's going to Chychrun. But if Nashville, I mean, they've been doing this kind of will they, won't they stuff. They traded away Arvidsson. And then they remained competitive with the rest of their pieces. They played to win this year. They didn't do a full rebuild. It was more of like a remodel. And it doesn't really feel like they have an identity with how they're being driven as an organization. And to me, like if you're in the playoff hunt and they've been playing good for most of the year, wouldn't you be more buyers at this point?
They're the top team in the wild card, and they are – I don't think it's really all that close. I think they're a much better team than Edmonton. I think they're a better team than Anaheim and Dallas and Vancouver. I mean, I think they're better than all of them. I think I'd be very surprised if they didn't make the playoffs as a wild card team at the least. I mean, and not that they're out of it in the chase for the division, but you know, Minnesota, those teams in the Central are a bit ahead of them. So, but yeah, it's a tough spot, but again, put yourself in the GM shoes. If you're talking about asset management and you're like, okay, we're a wild card team. Well, it's going to be a tough draw, right? And we got a guy that's not coming back. We could cash in. We could get some assets for him. So it's a tough sell to the fan base. That's why they get paid the big bucks, right?
And yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. Like as a fan, I'd be like, man, like we're in it. Like anything could happen. I mean, especially as a Kings fan, right? Like winning in the eighth seed. I know that's not done very often, but, you know, as a fan, like that would be a tough sell. One, because he's the heart of that team. Like he's the, you know, outside of Rene, which they honored, put his number in the rafter this week. You know, he's the heart and soul of that team. And it's like you really don't want to give that stuff away. What are you saying to players like Roman Josi, you know, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing? I think if they are in the playoff hunt, if I was a fan, I'd be like, okay, yeah, risk it. Let's risk it and then re-sign him. You know, but I don't know what Forsberg's mentality is on coming back or not.
Yeah, that's the thing. It could very well be just something that it's being kind of put out there, you know, maybe by his agent that he's potentially on the market just to see. And then if you're the Predators, listen, you don't have to trade him. If somebody blows you away, then maybe you think about it. Otherwise, you know, you sit tight and you ride this out and see if you can make a run in the playoffs and then try to keep him. So, yeah, it's a fun name. I certainly want him in Los Angeles. I think he's a hell of a player, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's something interesting there, and everybody listening is probably like, hey, what does this have to do with the Kings? Well, the Kings are rumored for everybody who's on the market to be traded. Yeah, so, you know, are they good enough to win the Cup this year? Well, I mean, Moneypuck has us at anywhere from 4.9% to 5%. If they pull off a Chychrun trade and maybe a Forsberg trade, they just double dip and move forward. I just think the Forsberg trade would probably have to be – well, let me ask you. If you were a fan, or which you are a fan of the Kings, would you rather it be a sign-in trade and give up more money or more assets, or would you rather risk it, give up less assets, and then hope that you believe you can convince them to stay in LA in the offseason?
I guess it depends on what those assets are. You know, if those less assets are a first-round pick and maybe a C-level prospect type of thing, sure, I'll do that and then roll the dice that we have a good run. He wants to stay in Los Angeles. Sure. You know, I think so. I think it just depends on what those are. Because as much as I think Phil Forsberg would be an incredible addition, you know, they really do need a left shot D. Like, you could argue that they have a crop of forwards. It's getting the job done right now, not to mention what you have in Ontario and Gabe Vilardi and Madden still growing and Turcotte still developing, all that stuff, right? Which we've beaten that to death, I think. So you have a good crop of forwards in Ontario. So you could argue that that big splash doesn't necessarily need to be as a forward. They need a LD2 like stat, because it's not going well with Bjornfoot and Mata on the left side right now. That needs to get addressed if they do want to be legit contenders. So I would definitely, if you can get him at a reasonable price, which what I say is picks, right? Picks, not necessarily prospects, which I don't know if that's enough, then do it and save your prospects for a bigger deal for a Chychrun or a left shot D, if you will. So that's how I look at it. I think as much as I love Forsberg and love the idea, they won't win in the playoffs with the current left shot D that they have.
Well, that's an excellent segue to the next one, which is Chychrun trade worth it, or is the Chychrun trade worth it? So there's been an executive that came out and said that he wouldn't trade for Chychrun. He doesn't believe he plays with the size that he is, and is a little bit of a liability defensively, and wouldn't give up four assets, top-notch assets, meaning first round or A prospects for a guy of Chychrun's caliber. So is the asking price too much? Is it going to be the fact that he is this year's Jack Eichel. He is the pinnacle trade target for this season. So Arizona can drive up the cost. Like, what is your belief on this after only having really one good season as far as the goal production in his career, and this year's down?
Well, I think there's a couple of things here. So the part of what the asking price is not only just the player and his ability, but it's also the contract, right? You have a player who is under contract at a cheap price through 2024-25. He's only 23 years old. So it's a little unfair to say the asking price isn't worth it solely for the player itself, because it's not just for the player itself. It's for the player itself plus his age and contract and the whole thing that goes along with it and the control that you have under him. So you have to take that into consideration. So in that sense, I mean, I do think he's worth it. I would love to see what he looks like on a competent hockey team, frankly. I mean, maybe that's a little bit of a cop out, but you know, when I take a look and I've looked at the evolving hockey, and everybody likes to, you know, you make excuses for guys, right? That are, he's just on a bad team, so that's why his numbers are so and such and such. His defensive expected goals in Corsi at 5-on-5 blows Tobias Bjornfoot out of the water. Now, I don't mean to knock on Tobias Bjornfoot. He's an extremely young defenseman and he's still developing, and I understand that. But like, if you're looking at lefty two, it's not even a comparison. And one of these players is on an maybe I shouldn't say elite, but an extremely good possession team in the LA Kings. The other one is on one of the worst teams in like history of hockey. And Chychrun's doing a better job grading out wise from a, again, from a, on the defensive side of things, from a Corsi and an expected goal standpoint. So I don't know, like you look at what the Kings, and I think every situation is different. I don't know what executive said this obviously, or what team he's with, but this is a, probably the one glaring hole I would say in the Kings organization is left D, is high end potential left shot D. They're loaded on the right. They've got a ton of forwards. And, you know, if you believe in Cal Peterson's the guy, like they could potentially have a backstop for years. So they do not have that puck moving left shot D. So this is, you know, so for the Kings, given their depth in prospects, given where they are in their rebuild, given the one big piece they're missing is this guy. I don't think the ask is, I think the ask is fair. I mean, I if I'm Arizona, I'm going to ask for the moon right now, especially when you're expecting a lot of competition for him. So I'm okay with it. I don't blame them one bit because you know what? They don't have to trade him. He's under contract. Why would you not ask for the moon? And if a team pays it, great. If not, he's still on your roster and you continue to develop and you continue to grow. So Arizona should do this. They should ask for the moon.
Yeah, you talked about the advanced stats in Corsi and how he's blowing Bjornfoot out of the water, but let's just kind of look at some of the basic stats that kind of pop out to me. One, he's been playing ever since his draft year. He started at 18, played 68 games in his rookie year. He's a 6-year veteran. And it's hard to say that at 23 as a 6-year vet, but he is. You're looking at outside his rookie year, he's playing over 20 minutes of ice time every single year. His average shooting percentage is 6.4. Well, guess what he's shooting this year? 1.7. So the regression to the mean, I usually believe in that. You know, obviously last year he was shooting over 10%, and as a defenseman, that's really high because you take a lot of shots from the point. You take a lot of shots on the power play, and a lot of those were going in. A lot of those were C&I singles getting through the defense and finding their home. And now those things aren't happening, almost to a severe rate. But he's at, you know, he's over 50 hits or 50 block shots a year, every single year that he's been there, you know, and everything like that. The only thing that maybe bothers me a little bit is he hasn't played a full season. And so, you know, you're paying that premium price. Is this guy going to be there all the time? Right. Doughty's the Iron Man. He plays every single game. And so like when you're paying a guy like that, is it worth it? You know, to where me, that's the only thing that kind of bothers me with Chychrun is he hasn't been healthy his entire career, you know, consecutively. And it's just something, not really a glaring thing. You know, and I guess I don't really remember how many total games each season had with the shortened one. So maybe he has played a full season in the COVID shortened years, but in his first 3 years, didn't play 82 games. So we'll see how that works out. I mean, I think that you're right, though. That is the most glaring need. The only other thing I can think of, and this was mentioned to me, or not to me, but just I saw it on online, is trading, like try to trade for the Panthers Knight, the goalie, as a young goalie prospect under Peterson, because they, you know, they made this good.
You mean it's the Kings or Arizona?
Kings or Arizona. For Arizona, that would be, I mean, that's, you have a goaltender, a 10-year goaltender. Like,
yeah, there seems to be a really good fit there with Florida and Chychrun if they wanted to make that work with some of the pieces. I don't know. I it's not a need right now for Los Angeles. I get it from an organizational depth standpoint. It's not a bad thing, but at the current moment, Quick's playing well. Peterson, listen, you just signed him, so he ain't going anywhere. So Peterson's your guy for the next couple of years, whether you – we'll see if he turns into that and stays that. But I think you know, you continue to look for the goaltending, but I don't know, because he's going to be a premium. You're going to pay a premium for Spencer Knight, and I just wouldn't do that, no. The player that – the other thing you have to think of is Chychrun is a guy that you can get, and we talked about it with Jack Eichel, was you don't really see elite number one centers just become available that are under contract and young.
Do you think he's elite?
Who?
Chychrun?
So I guess
only had 1 year in the Norris conversation. Yeah, I mean, I know that's a writer's word. Thing.
I use the word with Eichel, and it's probably not fair. Maybe that's a strong word, and it's, I know that word gets kind of thrown out willy-nilly with Chychrun, but I guess the point is legitimate top pair, number one caliber defenseman, 23 years old, under contract for years with a good cap hit, don't become available very often. So
do you think the fact that, like, maybe the Kings see it as a flawless transition, right? Doughty and Chychrun for the next couple years, and then you have another guy that's supposed to be an elite player in Brandt Clark, and that just kind of seamlessly, now Chychrun's a little bit of the older veteran, Clark's coming in, and so you kind of have that seamless transition going forward with the great offensive mind on the right side and Chychrun playing on the left.
I think if you don't do a big deal, and Chychrun is the name that's out there right now, right? I mean, I still have hopes and dreams that Buffalo will continue to be Buffalo and find a way to trade Rasmus Dahlin, but that's my own dream. But anyways, so if you're not going to go and get the big fish like a Chychrun, then what you're probably going to have to do is kind of go kind of that younger route, a younger direction, and try to get that kind of diamond in the rough that just hasn't been quite noticed yet. And then he turns into this, but can be tough to find. That can be tough to find. So I don't know. It's going to be costly, but at some point they're going to have to strike somewhere. And I think left shot D is the spot that they have to strike. And if there's one here, you go get him.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Kings have done some striking so far with Deneau and Arvidsson, and they haven't really had to pay much for that. And then, you know, a lot of people bring up the fact that, hey, the Kings won made the playoffs in 2010, and it took 2 years to win the cup. And like, we don't need to make that striking move now. Like we tried in the off season, or maybe there'll be another left shot D available in 2 years, or, you know, they draft somebody or yada, yada, yada. But, you know, I think it's a fluid situation, and he is definitely a player that fits our biggest need as an organization.
And again, his age and contract are huge, and I wouldn't wait 2 years. I mean, again, the likes of I would try to, you have a small window here with Kopitar, Doughty, and then if you want to include Quick and Brown, Quick's playing great right now, obviously, so he's still in there. Like, that window for those guys is not getting any larger. It's very small. You got a couple of years. So I wouldn't wait much longer to make this strike, because you are turning into a pretty good hockey team right now with the evolution of Kempe, and Byfield's up now. Like, you're maybe closer than we thought, closer than I thought. I'll admit that. I'm not saying for a cup this year, but like, you could be a contender next year with how they play hockey.
I mean, you get Chychrun, Edler comes back at the end of the season, and then you have Mikey Anderson. Now that left side doesn't look so bad.
Right.
Our scoring is kicked up. When you play Corsi hockey, when you're constantly putting that in, and, you know, I know the shooting percentage isn't high. Yeah, a lot of the games are close, but that means you also have a chance to win at the end. You know, you're not – and I think – I said it in our midseason roundup. I think we can beat anybody in the West. I don't think that.
Agreed.
And so it's definitely something to take a look at. All right. Well, I think we talked 20 minutes of Kings hockey. This is making it rain. So let's get into the good stuff. You know, the Ontario Reign keeping it hot. They San Diego goes back to back over here. So let's start with the first game. Actually, let's go into the where we're at now. So for a lot of people who don't know, standings, the Heat and Reign are actually tied at 62 points. Heat have played less games, so they're technically in first. Points, power play percentage, first in the division at 27.4. PK at seventh at 77.7. Tynan and Ferk both in the top 10 in the league in points. And so, you know, definitely the team is buzzing there. So let's start off with the San Diego goals game on Saturday. Reign win 4-3. Come out blazing, out shooting the goals, 14-6, getting a 1-0 lead on a Martin Ferk goal, fancy that, from Tyler Madden and TJ Tynan. What did you guys – I like the way they came out in this game, pretty hot, and they seem to be playing a little bit more crisp hockey as of late.
Yeah, and this was just a really good road period to come out, and they just controlled the entire game. It helped that they get a lead. So, you know, they had a few power play opportunities in the opening period that, you know, they were able to – they didn't cash in on one in the first, which, you know, would have been nice, but still they played a really just solid period. Volalta was, you know, he didn't get tested a lot, but he was strong when he needed to be. And then you walk out of the first period of a two-game set on the road, You know, the first game being on the road, that is. And I thought it was just a great, great first period to start the weekend.
Yeah, moving in the second period, we have Jad continuing with his 18th of the season. Matty Vilalta gets his first assist of the year, padding those stats. And then Martin Furkett had towards the end of the period and with his second goal of the day from TJ Tynan and Christian over there. So second period, a little bit more even, I thought, from back to forth, especially from a shooting standpoint, Ontario 10-9. What did you see in this period? And what did you like about how the Kings kind of kept the pedal to the metal there?
What was nice was you talked about Matt Vilalta. A hell of a stretch pass. I mean, that was – so Austin Strand makes that pass from behind his own goal line and hits Jod almost to the goal's far blue line on the goal. It was a really great play, and Anderson Dola tried to pass it across to Dudas, but it ended up deflecting it off the defenseman. But, you know, they have the ability to play that type of hockey. They're quick transition if the opportunity presents itself, and I think they use that opportunity to strike there, and Anderson Dolan continues his hot play, and then again, Martin Furk was left alone in the slot. Then he's not going to miss too many from there. So again, an opportunistic team, a solid road period.
Nice, nice, nice. I agree there. Third is where I got a little sketchy. San Diego started putting the gas on, out shooting us 13-7 there. We did get our first power play. We were 1-7, not what you normally see from the rain there, but TJ Tynan puts one home from Jordan Spence and Martin Furk. Furky with a 3-point night and Tynan with a 3-point nine. It seems like that happens quite a bit. But the third, the rain got a little sloppy with 5 penalties.
They did. It happens sometimes. What I did like, though, was TJ Tynan scoring on a clapper on the power play. You do not see that very often for as productive as he is. But another big game out of him. Jordan Spence, kind of again quietly keeping. It was, you know, his point streak ended, his 12 or 13 gamer that he had, but he's picked right back up. Frankly, I think he's at 6 points in his last 5 games since that streak ended. So he's continuing to play well too. So it was a solid all around road performance. And I think in the third period, you mentioned like it gets a little sloppy. They take a bunch of penalties. And again, I mean, that's where you look to your goaltender, and Matt Vilalta, you know, he came up big, right? They put 13 shots on him in the third period. You know, he was big on the penalty kill. So good on Matty V. His strong play continues.
Yeah. It was, re-looking at it, it was Austin Wagner with 4 of those penalties, all in the same play. So instigating, roughing, fighting, and misconduct. So maybe it sounded a little worse than what it was, but he pretty much was done for the night after that. But you know, good on the rain, you know, kept San Diego 0-4. First start of the game, you had Furk, second start of the game, Tynan. But again, almost 30 shots on goal or for the goals. And, you know, Matty Vilalta stays hot. And I saw that somebody posted some stats on, you know, as far as the danger shots that Vilalta's facing versus the amount of saves he's making. And it was a tweet. I should have pulled that so I had it right in front of me. But he's doing a great job. I mean, outside of the mental lapses here and there where you see, oh man, he wishes he could have that one back.
Yep.
He's been playing very solid this year, especially as of late.
He has been. And you know, we may get into this a little bit more tomorrow, a little teaser. But Sean O'Brien does a tableau when he collects a whole bunch of, he's one of the few analytics guys in the American Hockey League, if not the only one. And he does a great job on his site. And so if you look at the goaltenders, they have them kind of broken up into quadrants, depending on how the defensive, the shots they face and whatnot. And Matty Vilalta is in a what is considered hard work quadrant, but strong results. So he is somebody that gets tested. We talked about it too, I think on the last episode, where the Rain were giving up at the time 31 shots a game. It was one of the worst in the league. So their goaltenders, and Vilalta obviously the starter, he's seeing a lot of rubber. And yeah, there's a couple, there's times where it seems like you want that one back. So that's part of his game that hopefully will continue to evolve, but there's no question he's playing really, really well, and he's seeing a lot of rubber, and he's seeing a lot of high danger rubber.
Yeah. So let's go to the second, game here. Another 4-3 win, starts off kind of slow, is a little slow going there. The goals get a goal by Brent Gates Jr. In the first period, and you know, Strand with a penalty there. It just seemed kind of like kind of a slow going teams trying to get their footing. I don't know if you had any different view on that first period.
No, I mean, I don't think it was like a terrible period necessarily. It was just very kind of low event, right? Not a lot going on. They couldn't get the same type of jump that they had, I thought, in the game prior. So, you know, credit the Gulls. You know, they came off a loss the night before at home, so they're probably gonna they came out with a little bit tighter check. So, you know, all in all, though, they get out of the period, it's 1-0. And again, with this offense, you're always in the game. So, you know, you figured they would come back a little bit better in the second.
Well, both teams came back better in the second. It was a wild back and forth.
It was.
Starting right away, less than 2 minutes into the period, Tyler Madden puts his 13th home of the season, assist by TJ Tynan. And then right back within less than a minute, Hunter Drew scores for the goals. You know, two goals in the first 3 minutes. Definitely a change of a vibe to this period.
Yes. And I would say the star of this period was Gabe Vilardi. The goal that he scored on the kind of give and go play through the neutral zone and then into the offensive zone, he crisscrossed with Rasmus Kapari, was really, really nice. Very pretty goal. He also wins a puck battle on the sidewall to set up Cameron Gauntz, who did a nice job reading the play, sliding in. And then on the power play, Vilardi, again, you know, he's so smart. He's in that bumper position. The puck goes to Tynan, and he just kind of quietly gets himself into the high slot area. And Tynan finds him, and he bangs it home. So he showed off what he can do in the offensive zone. And, you know, and there was a – and you know, to talk about Vilardi quickly, there was somebody on, you know, Twitter – the last article I wrote about four potential pieces that could be on the move. If the Kings are going to make a big splash, that these are some of the guys that could be on the move. And then Vilardi was one of them, you know, and there was some question about, you know, Vilardi skating from somebody on Twitter. And I don't think it's like an unfair criticism to his game that is, he's not like the best skater out there, but you don't need to be. And you know, we talked about this with Scott Wheeler when he was on the show. You don't need to be like this elite skater necessarily, but he's so good in the offensive zone and his movements in the offensive zone and where to be. He's got a really underrated shot. He's a great playmaker. Like, he could do a lot of things. And man, you know, we talked about Forsberg earlier and potential trades and whatnot. Like, if you could find a way to get Chychrun and not trade Vilardi, and Vilardi, I've been saying it since he was sent down, I think he can be a guy that can be a top six winger for the, or at the very least, you know, you put him on the third line with Byfield in Los Angeles. I think he can be an impact scoring winger in LA. I really, really do. So he had a great period though, going back to the Gulls game, he had a great period and he's had a good stretch of games. No shock. He's been great since he's been down.
Yeah. He's third on the team right now and in points per game at 1.06, only trailing Tynan and Ferk.
Yeah. He's been awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think he would already be on the Kings if the person that was struggling was somebody other than Dustin Brown. Like, if it was, you know, a random person or whoever, you know, they had no problem sending Kupari down. They had no problem sending all these guys down. If the person struggling wasn't Dustin Brown, one of the all-time best Kings, Vilardi's probably up there already playing. Fair. Yep. And that person is probably scratched. So, you know, it's something different to me there. And Vilardi had a great period. Like you said, that Cameron Gauntz goal, Gauntz just cracked that one. It was a nice little assist, the give and go. And then, you know, to your point, like there's a lot of players, like, you know, Brent Clark isn't the greatest skater, you know, he has okay straight line speed. He does different things with his legs, as we saw when we did a lot of our draft coverage, but he's supremely intelligent. He makes a lot of players miss on the point. He's able to move horizontally, and he's just a genius when it comes to the offensive zone. And like you already mentioned Scott Wheeler in our interview, he's saying the game went so high into the skill realm where, and now it's kind of floating back down to where a lot of these intelligent players who are more cerebral are starting to dominate the league more because not everybody can be Connor McDavid.
Right. And you know, I'm gonna give a shout out and a stick taps to all the Kings men and Jesse Cohen over there because he put it great. So I don't want to take credit for this. I should give it to him, but he had mentioned, and I'm paraphrasing, but you know, you can if you're not the strongest skater, but you have a brain, you're going to be okay. You can be the best skater in the world. If you don't have a hockey brain, you got no shot. And he's 100% right. At any level of hockey, you have to be able to process the game. And you, when I look at Gabe Vilardi, that's what I see. I think he was thrust into a really difficult position as a young player with not a lot of pro games under his belt as 2C. And it didn't work. You know what? That's okay. He's come down and he's all but dominated as a winger in the American Hockey League. And I think, I hope that we see him in the NHL, and I hope it's with the Kings, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. The third period slows down a little bit here. So Ontario again, 1-for-3 on the power play, no penalty kill goals there. Gable Vilardi gets the first star of the game with 3 points. Tynan second star of the game with two. In this game right here, you're looking at another Matt Valalta goes back to back. Another only 3 goals again. So not a lot of shots for the goals on this one, only 20. So for Vilalta, that's kind of a lazy night, it looks like. But still, gets the W. Go, you get 4 points on the weekend. Definitely a quality series against the goals.
And I'm going to just quietly throw this out there again. Jordan Spence, 2 more assists in that game. He's up to 31 assists. After that game, he had 31 assists. So just he continues to deliver. It's just so impressive what he's been able to do.
Yeah. So speaking of delivering, our sponsor for this episode is DraftKings. Hoops fans, the latest offer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is too good to pass up. I'm talking between the legs, 360 windmill good. New customers can bet just $1. That's right, $1, Joe, on any team and get $150 in free bets. That sounds good. If they win, it's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can still take your shot at a big payday. Everyone can play huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Basketball Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NBA game and get $150 in free bets if you win. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and older, minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Minimum $5 deposit. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY, which is 467-369, anywhere you can apply. Off to the races here with Henderson Silver Knights here. Wednesday game, we're aware, one-time Wednesday game. You're coming with a 4-1 win, pretty dominating. And normally the Henderson games get pretty chippy, but Jared Innocent Dolan, the power play gets going in this game, gets a power play goal from who other than Gabriel Vilardi and Jordan Spence.
You know, when I wrote the Anderson Dolan piece, I decided I looked at all those power play goals. He had 10 at the time, and I looked at all the power play goals, and I specifically looked at the ones that were tip-ins because I think he's really evolving into a pretty intelligent player to play down low. He knows when to be the support guy and bump it out and make a pass out to the bumper. He knows when to head out to the corner for again, to be another support guy if it goes behind the net. He knows when to go to the front of the net. His timing is perfect. And you can see he and Spence have a little something going on. There's a chemistry there because the way he times his move to the front when Spence has the puck. And this one actually, this one actually got tipped twice. That's why Vilardi got the primary assist that was shot by Spence, and it ended up getting tipped by Vilardi and again by Anderson Dolan. But he's really turned. I think that's his fourth or fifth tip-in goal on the power play. He's starting to create a little bit of a niche for himself. So I still think that there's a sneaky under the radar kind of PP2 guy that potentially could be, you know, even though he'll be a bottom six forward probably if at the NHL level, I think. I think he's ready. It's just when it's time and there's the opportunity, he's ready. He can go in and play a role. And I think he can contribute in all areas. I think contribute offensive, defensive, PK, PP. I think he can be a guy that is just a kind of under the radar productive player.
Yeah, I mean, a guy that comes to mind is Joe Pavelski, made a living in doing that for a long time. Not that Joe's not a good player otherwise.
Right.
But we saw it as Kings fans, you know, when he's on the Sharks, just eat us up all the time. And in that middle area, tipping those pucks, whether from the high or right in front of the goalie, and just timing it perfectly. And if Jad can do that, he's going to prolong his career. He's not only going to do that, he's going to get himself more minutes on the power play, like you said, power play too. So it's definitely something I've liked seeing from him. And Spence is just, for some reason, he just finds the exact hole to get to from the shot from the point to get an opportunity for his teammates.
Well, what's smart about Spence too is he doesn't necessarily have to, you know, he's so smart and he can find seams that he's not putting his head down and wiring clappers. But then again, you wouldn't be running the top power play unit if that's all you were doing.
Yeah,
you know, he recognizes an opportunity when he sees Anderson Dolan making his move to the net that he just has to get it there. Doesn't have to be the hardest shot in the world. He's got to find a seam and put it at the right height for Anderson Dolan to do the rest. And so far that's working great.
Yeah, moving in the second period, gets off to a quick start with Martin Furk, assist from Tyler Madden and Helgi Granz. And this period was pretty much, you know, an anomaly. We got the goal early, but Henderson dominates the shot totals.
Yep, and again, lean on Matty Vilalta. This was definitely a letdown period, if you will, for Ontario. They get out to the 1-0 lead after one. And Henderson definitely came out and took it to him. But I've been talking about Vilalta for a couple of weeks now, and how much his game has improved. And this is what you need when you have a period where you don't have it, right? It's just not going well, and the other team is coming. That your goalie is there to stand on his head and to keep the game where it is, to keep you and give you an opportunity. And he did that in the second period.
Yeah. So. Rain hold tough towards the end of the period. Rasmus Kupari goes off with a double liner for high sticking at 17:38. And so, you know, the Rain have been doing a good job at staying tough with the allowing no penalty kill goals the first two games against the goals. And now against Henderson comes up huge with at the end of the period, because last thing you need is that momentum to shift. Then you come out into the third period and you're already on the penalty kill, and you leave the door open for a good Henderson Silver Knights team.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we get into that third period, and the Christian Molan, and I've kind of liked watching his game in Ontario, and we've talked about the issues on the left side in Los Angeles. I'm not saying he's the answer, but I wouldn't mind seeing him get a look there. Like, perhaps, you know, I don't know if they're committed to just keeping Bjornfoot in the NHL and just they're going to keep plugging him in there and letting him work through this, which I would understand. But I wouldn't mind seeing Christian Molan and get some time in Los Angeles. I think he's been a pretty good puck mover for Ontario.
Yeah, I think they need to do maybe not necessarily Bjornfoot or Mata, but one of those guys, and just kind of rotate Molanin and Ruvari in there every once in a while and shake it up and see if you can find some chemistry there. They found chemistry in the offensive part. Obviously the mad nice or whatever line you want to call it has been revolutionary, and they've stuck with it. And so maybe if you find a good pairing that helps out the bottom four on the defense moving forward, the weakness might not be as harsh as it looks as of late. I mean, we're winning games. It's hard to complain, but now, as Kings fans, you want to look towards the playoffs, and that's definitely an area of weakness. And so I would agree with you. I like Wolanin's game. I also like Morvari's game, and so I wouldn't mind them just cracking the lineup every once in a while, getting a game here or two and seeing what they could do and see if they can make use of that, because I thought Morvari did fine when he was up there, and I've always liked Wolanin's game as well.
Yeah, I would agree. So I don't know the likelihood of that happening, frankly. I mean, they're not going to waive Mata, and I guess maybe they could send Bjornfoot down. I mean, Kupari's back down, Velarde's back down. I mean, I guess, you know, Anderson Dolan's back down. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. But I've kind of liked what Olin has brought.
Yeah. So at the end, starting the third period, definitely on the penalty kill. The Reign do not give up a goal, but then, hey, Henderson right back at it with a double minor of their own, puts the Reign on the power play, and hey, who's back in the lineup? Vladimir Kachev with an assist. It's almost like when you put him on the power play, things good things happen, but he's been scratched for quite a while. The Reign have been playing well, and the story that never ends is the fact that we're blocked up everywhere you can be. Not a lot of places to move here if you're a Kings prospect trying to get some ice time. And so Kachev with his 16th of the year, Tyler Madden, 14th goal, Will Lannon with the assist on the power play. And then the Knights shore up themselves right after that with Pavel Dorofeev with his 18th of the season. I really liked him in his draft here. I thought that was somebody that the Kings maybe could have looked at. I don't know if he wasn't on their board, but a very skilled forward. And it'll be interesting to see when he gets the call up to Vegas, because he could definitely get the puck in the net.
Yeah, that was a nice tip in that he had too. I've kind of liked his game. I've kind of liked his game when I've seen him against Ontario as well, for sure.
So towards the end of the game, the game kind of just goes into a stalemate. TJ Tynan from Rasmus Kupari and Cameron Gontz seals it away with an empty netter. Third straight game for Vallalta. Vallalta gets the second star of the game, only allowing one goal on 32 shots. Tyler Madden gets the goal and assist, and a goal for Jared Anderson Dolan. Three games, three wins, 6 points, puts us back up tied for first place with the Heat. I believe have one game in hand. Reign are looking pretty good there, Joe.
They sure are, and I think, you know, we had their issues with the penalty kill before that we talked about. It was kind of talked about at length, and you know, I think that's a big reason why they. Listen, they were winning games obviously before even with the bad penalty kill. But you know, if you're able to get pucks out of the net with your penalty kill, as good as this team is at 5-on-5, and obviously with as their best power play in the AHL, they're going to be really tough to beat.
Well, let's get into that. That's in our next segment. I think it's been a good jump here. For the last 3 weeks, the Reign have slowly increased their penalty kill percentage. They've done a lot better. They didn't allow one goal in these three games. You wrote that piece. You just alluded to it. It seemed very organizational as far as how they were playing certain things, allowing a lot of shots from the dot and a lot of easy goals. For you, do you think it's more the personnel is getting better? They're getting more experience playing with each other and the personnel is increasing because we do have a young team. Spence, Helgi Granz, all these guys are young. Or do you think it's they're playing better fundamental hockey?
I think it's the latter. I mean, I perhaps there's something to guys and their chemistry and their understanding where each guy is going to go and their movements and their timings and their communication. That can always improve. So perhaps that's part of it. But I think it's a combination of, you know, they are doing a better job at cutting off that seam pass, so where they're not getting the flank guy, the circle guy, is not getting as many just blatantly open looks. And again, let's be honest, they're getting more saves. Matt Vallalta is playing very, very well lately. And I think that we have to acknowledge that that's played a factor. And I said it at the time, you know, it can be a little cliche-ish that the goaltender is your best penalty killer. But when I did that piece and I looked at it, it's like there was some goals where you kind of want some of them back. And, you know, and if you're going to give credit to a goaltender, and Vallalta in this instance right now we're talking about, you know, then you have to be fair. And, you know, if there's goals you want back, then you want those goals back, and you should be able to say that and acknowledge that. But at the same time, I'll be the first to admit it, he's playing awesome right now. And I think that's a big reason for the penalty kill improvement.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic, and it's good. And that's what they're going to need. I mean, their biggest competition, the Heat, one of the best penalty killers in the game or in the division. And so if they're going to continue pushing for that number one spot, obviously they can score, and we can just get a little bit more improvement on the penalty kill. We'll see. That should vastly improve if Brock Faber goes pro towards the end of the season, because he's just a stalwart in that type of thing, cutting off the angles and such. But I like the way they've played better fundamentally, and it's something to see there. And if the confidence can build with Matty Vallalta continually and have a good goaltender back there. The only thing that bothers me is if, you know, the schedule doesn't really allow it right now because they only play a couple of games, but whoever's been the backup outside of Garrett Sparks has been pretty bad all year. And they just rotated Lethemon up. Ingham went back to the Swamp Rabbits. Still waiting for my jersey, by the way. and going there. So that's the only thing that might bother me if we get more games down the stretch where some of these backups have to do it. If it's not going to be Villalta playing every single game, are we going to start dropping some games here and there because the backup goaltending isn't up to par?
I will be interested to see. I'm going to take a quick look here. They play Saturday, Sunday this weekend. I'm trying to see a back-to-back situation where, you know, if Lethemon's going to get a shot, he's had a good season in the ECHL, and maybe he gets it. Obviously Sparks was the main backup for a while. Ingham has gotten an opportunity. Parikh has gotten a couple of starts and an opportunity. So maybe now they're saying, you know what, they've all had their opportunity and struggle, as you mentioned. So maybe now is a good opportunity to give Lethemon the look with how well he's been playing in Greenville. So we'll see what happens if he's somebody that maybe gets a look this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, just give it up to Matty Villalta. Guest of the pod, by the way, Matty Villalta.
That's right.
And friend of the pod. And he's doing just a fantastic job. And I just think the fact that he's been seeing these amount of, like you said, hard worker, and he's executing. You know, it's just something that shows that, and maybe it builds character. I mean, I know when Cal Peterson was coming up, like he was hitting like 50 shots a game. he was just getting peppered. And so like seeing those amount of shots, especially with, you know, COVID shortened seasons here and there, you know, it's just enhancing the development curve of Villalta. The more shots you see, the better looks, the more times you're going to be able to make those moves. Like he said in his interview, he's trying to be more centered with his movement across the crease, making the easier save or the easier move rather than the flashier move. And that comes with seeing pucks.
And I won't speak for him, and I don't recall us talking about this when we interviewed him, but goaltenders by and large don't like to be bored back there. You know, they want to be in the game. They want to feel the puck. They want to feel the flow of the game. You know, maybe they don't want to see 50 shots a night, but they want to be in the game. They want to be active, and I think it helps keep them alert. So there could be something to it. Every goal is different, so I won't say that it's helping Villalta that he's seeing, you know, 30 plus shots a game. But there's something to effect where they're in a rhythm, and I think he's in one now, and I think that's why they started him back to back over the weekend, because he's playing so well, and I think he's earned it.
Yeah, definitely so. So let's move on here. Penalty kill continues to improve. Let's go with our Rain Star of the Week. I'm going to start us off here on this one. And I like Jordan Spence for the Rain Star of the Week this one. He continuing his point streak. He's moved up into tied for third on the team in points with 34. And he's second on the team with assist in 32. So he's a stalwart on this team now. He's a staple in the point production. Phenomenal on the power play. Just like I listened to the same interview with Wheeler on All the King's Men, he thinks he could play in the NHL right now. And so I tend to agree that if there wasn't a roadblock with Roy and how well Jersey's playing, you could see him getting some time up there. But the Rain definitely need him, and he comes through almost every single game.
At what point should he be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year? Leads all rookie defensemen in points. He is top 10 among all rookie skaters in points. He's second amongst all rookies, forward or defenseman in assists. He has 20 power play assists, which again, second amongst all rookies. I don't know, we'll see what happens. I think he could at least throw him in the discussion. We're discussing it, Joe. Listen, we are a Making It Rain podcast, so I guess you could say maybe we're a little biased. Let's just throw it out there. But his numbers are right there, too. He's had a hell of a freaking season. Good for him. And so that's why I did the piece about potential guys that could be traded. Like, I want to be very clear. It's not that I want any of these guys to be traded, or I think they should be traded, or they're not good players. Like, if anything, it's a compliment that if they're going to make a big splash, like I don't mean it to be that these four guys were guys that can be just traded in any trade. Like if you're trading these guys, it's a big deal. And I think because Jordan Spence has had the season he's had in Ontario, he very well may have jumped to the top of the list. I'm excluding Brant Clark of right shot defensemen in Los Angeles that could be traded. He's playing at this level, at the pro level. So for all, you know, in Brock Faber, I know everybody, he's at the Olympics and everything, but Spence is doing this at the pro level and putting up in a high level of point production on a top power play, and the top power play in the American Hockey League. He runs it. You know, he's at the top of it, I should say, and then just runs it because TJ Tynan's there too. But you get my point. Like he's showing he can play at an extremely high level, you know, right now, and we don't know yet how Brock Faber is going to play at this. So teams could see this and say, man, he's a year ahead of Brock Faber, and when it comes to, you know, rather than wait and see if, can he do it at the pro level, we know Spence can do it at the pro level. That's why I included his name, is solely for A, the depth of the right shot position in the Kings organization, but also the season he's having. You know, he could be somebody that's really opening a lot of eyes outside the organization.
Yeah, multiple people, including head of scouting in Yannetti, saying that the puck moving, you know, scoring right shot defenseman is one of the unicorns in the league. And we have we have Doughty, Clark, Durzi, Spence, and then Walker, to a lesser degree,
Walker,
Helgi Granz, and Faber, who have a little bit of offensive ability as well. Mm-hmm. And so if other teams who don't have those styles of players, I mean, Spence could be right along that, or even Durzi. You could say, hey, like Jersey's doing this. He's already playing in the NHL. And then, you know, then we bring up Spence. I don't know what the Kings are looking to do,
right?
Whether what they would feel is the better option for them. But I don't disagree with you that Spence would be at, if I was another team and, you know, looking at our prospects, you know, everybody mentions the forwards, but a right shot D that can run the power play right now, you know, he probably could run any power play too in the league, or at least most of them in the NHL this year, you know?
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
So, and again, I go back to when I look at a team that really needs right shot D. I mean, there actually is a pretty good fit between the Kings and Buffalo. And I go back to Darlene, but they don't have right shot D prospects, and they have Darlene right now, but they also have a guy named Owen Power who's going to be stepping in next year. So they kind of have that one left D right there. And they also have two or three other good prospects that are defensemen on the left side. So like in theory, you could see them, you could stock up their right side in a Darlene trade. Okay. I give up. I'm done with Darlene. I'm sorry.
For those of you not watching on YouTube, Joe's smile couldn't be any wider than it is right now. And my screen isn't very big. So yeah, I mean, I like Rasmus Darlene as well. And you know, like, hey, Spence and a pick for Darlene. And sometimes people need to change of scenery, right? I mean, the MO over there in Buffalo was pretty toxic. It looks like it's changing the tone a little bit with the new GM making not complete boneheaded moves all the time. but you know, I wouldn't mind that. Darlene's not a name that's being thrown around, but you know, maybe he needs a change of scenery, and it's Spence and a couple of things for that. And then you have Darlene there on the Swedish connection with Bjornfoot and everything like that. And on the left side, that and Mikey Anderson. And then if Edler comes back, you have another Swede there. I mean, Kings love their Swedes.
I can dream. I can dream of Darlene, hey, at least. Can I?
After this, you can dream about Darlene and your, you know, shooting pucks all night long. But let's get into your star of the week before we close this thing out.
Points in all three games, 2 goals, 2 assists. Been a fan of ours all season. Tyler Madden under the radar, but he continues to get it done. He had a couple of goals, like I said, a couple of goals, a couple of assists. And he's an interesting forward. Like, he's not one that ever gets brought up in terms of potential call-ups. I haven't really seen his name talked about much in trades. You know, I think he is a guy that is probably a solid year away. Maybe sometime next year he gets that call. He needs to get.
Do you think he's a B, or would you call him a B or a C prospect in our organization?
In our organization, I suppose he's, I don't know. I do wonder what I'll say he's a C prospect, because I do wonder what his ceiling could be at the NHL level. I think he's versatile enough to play a lot of different positions. He could play, I think he can play both center and wing. He may have to. he has a good shot. He's one of the goals he scored over the weekend was a really deft little touch just in front of at the top of the crease. I think it was against Henderson, but now it's all blending. But it was a really nice little chip over the goal. So he's a good goal scorer. He's got a nice release. I think he's a good player. I see him though. I don't know that he's certainly not ready at the moment. I think there needs to be a little bit more from a physically. I think he needs to be a little bit stronger to be able to withstand some of a few
more protein shakes, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. To be able to withstand some of the bigger boys in the NHL. Not that you have to be this big hulking guy, but I think this has been a really good season for him, and I'm loving it. Don't even consider bringing him up. Let's keep riding him out down here. Let him have a really legitimate off season, have a good off season, and see what happens next year. But I like the player. I really do.
And from him missing a lot of time last year, that's a full year of development that he missed. And so, yeah, let him marinate a little bit more down in here in Ontario for sure.
Yep. But that's my star.
All right. So, well, that'll do it for us, guys. Just so you guys know, the Reign have three games, all against the Tucson Roadrunners, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday before our next show. We will be back on, if you're listening to this on podcast, today on YouTube, meaning Friday. We'll be recording on Thursday with a stat analytics guru. And definitely for all you stat heads out there, tune in. We'll be talking about the Reign and all the advanced analytics for the team. I am Randy McMahon. You can find me at Rando Commando 24. Joe, where can they find you on Twitter?
JW Paterino.
As always, Hockey Royalty is at Hockey_Royalty. You can find all of our articles and gear. If you see Joe's gear right there at hockeyroyalty.com. Glad to be a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Kings, go. And as always, go Reign.
Go Reign.